Why do we exist? Were we created with a purpose, or are we just here by chance? What are we to believe about life, faith, and worldview? Welcome to The Universe Next Door, focusing on answers to the questions we all consider. Join us as we seek to see a generation captivated and transformed by the truth of Christianity. This is The Universe Next Door.
Welcome to The Universe Next Door. Today we are continuing our series on defeating defeatism. This is going by really fast for me. We've had some really cool guests on. We've had Greg Kokel to talk about how to have difficult conversations with people about cultural topics and so on and so forth. We had Bill Roach on to talk about Christian nationalism, and we sort of defined and pointed out the inconsistencies with that. So check that out if you haven't. But we're going to be getting into a whole lot more crucial topics here. And starting today, I'm interviewing Billboard Chris, and he's going to be talking about what's going on with grooming in our country, child grooming, this idea that children can transition their gender, and it's forced and pressured on them from a very young age. This is happening in homes, it's happening in schools, it's all over the country. Those of you who are older than like 9 years old, you've seen this unfold over time. You've seen this develop, and all of a sudden, this whole ideology has just exploded. So he is quite literally an expert on that. He's going to be talking to us about that. And he also travels the country, and he wears like a sandwich board sign that has simple phrases like kids cannot consent to puberty blockers and that kind of thing. And so we're going to talk a little bit about his experiences with that. He's gone to places like Seattle. He's gone to places in Canada, Ireland. I mean, he just literally travels everywhere with these simple messages that are so true, but they're met with a lot of pushback. And so he's going to talk a little bit about his experiences in defending children, in speaking against child grooming. In this next Monday, we're going to have Moms for Liberty on to talk about grooming in the school systems and how it's spread. But all of this in this series, it's all focused on what we can do about it. So not just to sit around and talk about it and complain about it. There's certainly a time and place for that. But how are we going to take that and actually turn that into progress, turn it into action? How are we actually going to do something about these issues? And so that's the point of this series. We have not been defeated. There are certainly people who'd like to give us that impression, but it isn't true. So we need to continue to fight for what's right. And I'm having all different people on this series who have been doing that, who have been in the fire for a long time, who have been faced with all kinds of difficulty and stuff, all kinds of pushback for speaking about things that are right, for doing something about things that are right. And that's kind of the point of what's going on here. So this is going to be and has been a very practical and helpful series. It's going to be helpful for you to start discussions, to know what to do in discussions, but also how to take action and help and join the fight in bringing some of these things down and restoring biblical truth, restoring our convictions that the Lord pushes us to fight for and guides us in doing so. So if you have questions about any kind of cultural issues, any kind of situation that you've dealt with or that you've seen on the news or on social media or whatever, send your question to information@apologetics.org. It also helps us with ideas with what you guys are thinking about and going through. So anything you're wondering, anything you don't understand or have had a hard time sort of grasping or talking about or responding to, send an email to information@apologetics.org. And also, if you would hit follow, that way you'll be alerted of every new episode that comes out. We usually do Monday at 6 p.m., but we have other content as well that comes out throughout the week sometimes. So go ahead and hit follow, and that way you're reminded and notified, whether you're on Apple or Spotify or Google or wherever, just hit follow so you can keep up. But thank you so much for joining us. It is a huge blessing to have you. And with that being said, let's get into our interview with Billboard Chris. Today we have with us Billboard Chris. You've probably heard of him. He travels all around the world arguing simple truths about children's freedom, which you would think everybody would agree with, but they don't always agree with. So, Chris, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, for 3 years now, I've been traveling all around North America. I've been to the UK on one trip as well. I'll be back there soon. But I have conversations about what I consider to be the greatest child abuse scandal in modern medicine history, which is this business of trying to change the sex of children. all these girls especially are receiving puberty blocking drugs, cross-sex hormones, boys as well. And they're getting surgeries because they've been deceived into believing that they must have been born in the wrong body, which after having about 20,000 conversations on this subject all across North America, no one yet has been able to tell me what it means to be born in the wrong body, because it means nothing. This is a cult that's infiltrated all of our society, and we need to crush it entirely.
Yeah, we just had someone from Moms for Liberty on to talk about how this is being pushed in schools across the country. Children are being indoctrinated with this, and apart from their parents, a lot of the time, the parents aren't even informed if somebody's having what you would call sort of an identity crisis or whatever it may be. Parents are left in the dark on this, and so number one, having kids. I have two kids now, 1.5-year-old and a 5-week and 2-day-year-old. But having kids now, it just becomes so much more surreal, where it's like we're fighting for our kids' future, for their freedom, for their psyche, for everything. It's like, so I really appreciate what you do. But how did you get started? What was your motivation to get started, and what exactly, and can you explain a little bit more about what you do?
Yeah, of course. I get asked this question all the time, and there's no quick answer. So I'm a dad. I mean, that's essentially the answer. I'm a dad of two girls. They're 11 and 13 years old now. When I first became aware of this issue back in 2019, they were just, I guess, 7 and 9. And when I started my campaign, they were 8 and 10 years old. So they're right at that age where all these girls, especially, are falling for what I believe to be a cult. And so I wanted to learn all about this just to make sure I could protect my own kids, because this is in the school system and everything, these teachings. And the more I learned about this, and the more anyone learns about this, the worse it gets. This is total insanity. This is evil. And I just became kind of obsessed on this topic. I was reading about it every night for 6-9 months. And in July of 2020, there's a woman in the UK named Kelly J. Keene. She put up a poster at the Edinburgh train station, which was extraordinarily controversial because it said, "I love J.K. Rowling, the Harry Potter author. I heart J.K. Rowling." It lasted one day, because some people on Twitter complained that it was hateful. Because J.K. Rowling, of course, has spoken out against this child abuse. She's spoken out against the attack on women's rights. Women are getting fired from their jobs for believing in basic biology and objecting to creepy men coming into their spaces. So I just got tired of our freedom of speech coming under attack as well. That's a part of this. Because when tens of thousands of children are coming to irreversible harm, we have kids getting sterilized. They're cutting off the body parts of children. They're doing double mastectomies on thousands of girls. They're also doing what are called vaginoplasties on boys as young as 16 years old. I have the psychiatrist from Kaiser Permanente in Oakland, California. His name's Kellen Lackhart. I have him on video admitting that they've done these vaginoplasty procedures on boys, where they essentially castrate the boy and invert his penis to form this fake vagina. And I'm sorry if this gets graphic, but this is just what's happening. So anyway, I got tired of this child abuse. I got tired of our freedom of speech coming under attack. No one would talk about this. The only place this dialogue was happening was online, primarily from radical feminists who just talk to each other and who alienate much of the world because they blame men for all of their problems. And I just decided it was important to get out of our echo chambers online and get out into the real world and have these conversations face to face, as we're supposed to do as human beings. So actually, the first thing I did was put up real billboards following the lead of that Kelly J. Keene in the UK. I put up a billboard that said, "I love J.K. Rowling" in Vancouver, Canada, where I'm from, a big billboard on the side of the road. It also lasted just one day. It got paint bombed overnight. And then the next day, a Vancouver city councillor, one of our politicians, one of our left-wing politicians, she said it was hate speech. She had this big freak out and pressured the sign company to take it down, which they did. So that news went a bit viral. I was ready for this. I wasn't totally surprised they took it down. And I leveraged all the outrage online into a quick little fundraising campaign. And a week later, I had a billboard up in San Francisco. Same thing. I love J.K. Rowling. Portland, Los Angeles, all throughout Utah, all throughout the metro in Washington, D.C., and then one up in Times Square. That was my September of 2020. Ran out of money. And no sign companies would work with me in Canada. So I did the only thing I could do. As a man trying to start conversations about this, I started going outside. And I had some signs made. And instead of folding them, which is just kind of annoying, I just wear them because it's easier. So I'm this human sandwich board out there, human billboard. And I just talk to people. I go to busy downtown centers. I go to a lot of university campuses. Those are my favorite places to go. And I haven't stopped. I quit my job. I used to be in finance. I used to be an investment advisor. That was most of my adult career. And I just keep traveling and having these conversations. And I knew that if I just kept going and didn't stop, that other people would come along and wear their hats and do their jobs. And the lawyers would come along and groups like Moms for Liberty would come along. I'm assuming maybe you talked to Tiffany Justice last week.
It was Tina.
Yeah, so they're amazing. Tiffany and Tina are the co-founders. Mm-hmm. And when I started traveling into the States, when the borders opened up, my first trip, I was sitting in a hotel room one night and I jumped onto a Twitter space where you can talk to people because I saw this organization called Moms for Liberty and they were talking about education and that's kind of down my alley. And it was Tiffany Justice in that space. And so that's how I met her. And I helped to educate them all about this. And now there's 130,000 moms fighting this. So I have this expression, good things happen when you go outside, when you put yourself out there and you take risks and you take all the abuse and the attacks and stuff that I get coming my way. If you just are persistent, it's simply a matter of time until you make breakthroughs and great things are going to happen and good people are going to come into your life. And that's what's happened. And today I'm reaching millions every day through Twitter. My videos get seen hundreds of thousands or millions of times. And the population is awake. A lot of people are fighting this now. So it's been an amazing little journey I've been on.
Well, that's actually you going out and doing something, going and setting up and talking to people. That's one of the reasons, one of the many reasons I wanted to invite you on, because we're currently doing a series on the podcast called Defeating Defeatism. And it's this idea that we shouldn't be giving in to the idea that we've already been defeated. It's already done. Nothing we do matters. So I wanted to invite people on like you, like Moms for Liberty. We just had Greg Kokel, who's been having live conversations for decades. People who are actually going out and doing something. And it kind of, first of all, it encourages me to go out and do something. But also, I hope those listening will hear this and say, it's worth the abuse. It's worth the terrifying feeling of thinking, oh, I've never done this before. How do I even start? But you actually go around the world and you've had so many experiences. I was hoping we could talk about a handful of those, but one of the most popular that's gone pretty viral online, this was maybe this year or last year, but you were in Vancouver and you were literally standing there wearing a sign, right? That says, yeah, it said something like children can't consent to puberty blockers or something along those lines. And all of a sudden everyone's just, they're coordinated and they're just all yelling the F word over and over and over. While you're just standing there, not saying anything, not being provocative, you're literally standing there with a sign. And all of a sudden, like someone just like plows you and throws you down. And the cops are all just kind of standing there watching. One of the women who they interviewed after looked like she was laughing while you're being attacked. And this again is in Canada. Yeah, she was. And they interviewed her after and they said, well, he was inciting violence. So the guy who's standing there with a sign is inciting violence while the person attacking you is not. But I was wondering if you could kind of break down that experience a little bit. And I'll also put the video in the description for those listening.
Yeah, so that was March 31st, the Transgender Day of Visibility. And so there was this rally going on in Vancouver. And normally I'm just having conversations downtown Vancouver, wherever. But once in a while, I'll go to these rallies because I feel it's important to push back. We can't just have the narrative in society that this is acceptable to be trying to change the sex of kids. These people are celebrating the maiming and sterilization of children. They're pushing it. Someone needs to stand up against that. So once in a while, I'll go out to these things and I'll do that. And I'd gone to this event. The whole thing was probably 45 minutes. Every single second is video recorded. I have it all. I've tweeted out basically every single second. And within a minute of me getting there, I was assaulted. And my sign was knocked up into my face, which caused my nose to start bleeding. I was surrounded by people. So I do what you do in that situation, which is call for some police. I guess they were right around the corner because this blonde woman showed up. She's the one that was made famous in these videos. So she's the first one to show up. She's my official investigating officer. She's the only one I'm supposed to talk to about all this stuff. Right away, I knew I had a problem. She got there. She wouldn't even get out of the car. I told her I was assaulted. I said I should be able to walk freely in Canada without getting assaulted. And her response was, well... So I knew right away I had a trans activist in a police uniform. Mm-hmm. And she wasn't going to do anything about it. So there was a journalist there as well, an independent journalist named Dan Dix. He was filming everything. And over the next 40 minutes, I was just minding my business. I did have a few productive conversations with people, but then this journalist was interviewing me and I got surrounded. So we moved away from all these crazy people. Started the interview again. I got surrounded. We moved away a second time. Now I'm giving this interview for the third time. I got people on my right, people on my left, screaming F you, F you, inches from my ears. They're behind me. The journalist is right in front of me. They start crowding around me. I can't even move. One guy's screaming as loud as he can right in my ear. And one of these screams kind of hurt. So I just put my hand up for a little space. I didn't even push. But as soon as I did that, they take that as a provocation to commit violence, right? This is what they're looking for. So he actually grabbed my shirt and it looks in the video like a throat punch. So he kind of hit my throat and grabbed my shirt, pulled on my shirt, punched me with his other arm. This other guy pushed me from behind simultaneously. So I took a bit of a tumble. And as I'm falling down, and you'll show the video, the blonde officer in the left of the video is smiling throughout. So this is a clear assault in front of, at this point, about 36 police officers. Did they arrest him? No. They did nothing. So these trans activists have free reign to commit violence right in front of police officers, and nothing happens to them. This is the state of Canada right now.
Well, I fear that America is not going to end up much better the way things are going. But I think we need to keep fighting. I think we still have an opportunity to stop America from getting where Canada is in this regard, and Canada can still get much worse. I think we need to continue to stand up to this like you're doing. You're literally standing up to it. But how often, I know this is not your only assault, the only time you've been assaulted, rather. This isn't the only time you've been attacked. How often does this happen? Are there places you go, I would imagine, that are less intense than others? Are there places where you ever receive sort of any encouragement or a warm welcome? Or is it always just, is it always this negative and sort of...
No. So this is super important. More than 90% of the population overwhelmingly support me. Everywhere I go, I get support. I was downtown Vancouver yesterday for 3 hours. Not one hateful comment came my way. I had nothing but support, almost always men coming up to thank me. Lots of women too. Yesterday was almost always men. It was just one of those days. But it is usually men, and it's a lot of young women who are pushing this. So I don't even like saying this because... not because I get heat or whatever. It's just, I guess, kind of disappointing. But it's one of those things. It's young women who are pushing this ideology. They've been deceived. And this ideology preys on their natural compassion. And they've been told that kids are going to kill themselves if we don't transition them. And they've been told that puberty blockers are fully reversible. Both of these things are lies. And they're taking gender studies classes at university or whatever. And it's primarily these young women who are becoming the teachers and the counselors and social workers and the people working in HR who are pushing this today. Because like all cults, it's the victims who then become the recruiters. And that's what's going on. And most young men are not having this at all. And it's mostly young women who are transitioning today and being harmed physically as well. So all these young women know girls who have transitioned. And of course, they want to be empathetic to them. So the way this plays out in the real world is they end up pushing this. But... no, it's more than 90% support, especially if you're over 25 years of age. But it depends on the community I go to. I went to Capitol Hill in Seattle last week, home to the infamous Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, or CHAZ, which during the Black Lives Matter riots, they took over the community and the police weren't even allowed in. So that community is crazy. I talked to probably 12 trans-identified people that day. they're walking around everywhere because that's just that community. So of course I'm going to get a ton of hate there. But most places I go, sanity still reigns supreme. This is being pushed by a minority, but it's also being pushed by the government, specifically the Democrats. It's being pushed by all these nonprofit organizations, which have been taken over by radical leftists.
Now, when you talk to trans people on the street, I mean, I thought Matt Walsh did a very good job in his documentary. He had some people on who they transitioned their, well, I mean, I don't believe a woman could actually be a guy or vice versa, but they went through the process. And as an adult, he had some people on who regretted it. And they're just totally against doing this for children. Do you ever come across trans adults who don't want this to be pushed on children?
Yes. It doesn't happen every day. I run into probably a trans identified person every day when I'm in Vancouver. Most are against me, but I do run into some. I've probably talked to dozens who fully support me. They're not a monolith, just like any class of people is not a monolith. They don't all have the same opinions. Some people think that maybe they should just start hormones later. Some think it's totally fine to start these kids on the cross-sex hormones at 10 years of age. Some say they should wait till adulthood. Some say there should be therapy. Some say there shouldn't be any therapy. There is no science to this. That's kind of the point. The whole thing is just the wild west of medicine. And the practice today is simply to affirm a child. I was in Pennsylvania a couple weeks ago, and there's a conversation I put up on Twitter recently where this young woman is telling us that we should trust children to know what's best for them at any age. And this is the prevailing sentiment today among the left, is that children have agency, children know what's best for them. And that, of course, to any parent with children, we all know that's totally ridiculous. I posted a video yesterday of this little boy. His dad gave him two options. He could have $10,000 cash, or you could have two Oreos. What do you think he chose? Of course, he chose the Oreos. But we expect this same kid, this little boy, if he says he's a girl, now we get some of these parents going along with this and saying, yes, you're a girl, and then affirming him as a girl. What chance does this kid have of backing out of this when his parents are pushing it? And then when the school is now calling him by female pronouns and giving him a girl's name. And I talk about this a lot, the pronoun business, because some people say, what's the big deal? What's the big deal with pronouns? Here's what's happening when you call a child by the opposite pronouns. You are sending them a message that they were born wrong, that they need to be something they're not. How psychologically abusive is that? Never mind the physical abuse that will come with these drugs, hormones, and surgeries. It's a total psychological mind trip where you're lying to a child, telling them they need to be something that they're not. The body positive message we should be sending is that they're beautiful just as they are, that there's no right way to be a boy or a girl. But instead, they're telling these kids that they need to sterilize themselves or they're going to want to die. They're going to kill themselves. That is not true, first of all. Even if it were true, it's psychologically manipulative. It's coercive. You never celebrate suicide or tell people that they're going to kill themselves if they don't get what they want. Everyone's known this forever. But on this one issue, all of society is clamming up and going quiet because we get these radicals saying kids are going to kill themselves. They say it every single time. No exaggeration. This is the only argument they have. That and puberty blockers are reversible. Well, time is not reversible. If you put a kid on puberty blockers from 12 to 17 and you take him off, guess what? He doesn't get to go back to being 12 again where he gets to go through puberty. These boys are stuck with a micropenis for life. These girls' breasts never grow. Their hips don't get wider. They're suffering bone loss. They're going on testosterone, these girls, which causes vaginal and uterine atrophy. So now they have to get a hysterectomy done. We're sending teenage girls into menopause and calling this love and kindness. Nuts.
Yeah, and it really is disturbing. It's disturbing that this is being done intentionally. And of course, we're a Christian apologetic show. So sometimes as Christians, we have this tendency to want to take the middle ground on everything. We want to take... we want to say, oh, well, I'll use the pronouns because of this reason. But not only is it extremely harmful to kids, but my view is that it's also lying. When you know that, in an example where you actually know a guy is a girl and they're struggling with something, to actually affirm that is extremely harmful, and it's lying. It's bearing false witness. And I think this is something that we need to be straightforward on. We need to not... to kind of take this middle ground where we think more people are going to like us, but this is something that's really harming children. And you mentioned the idea of suicide, where the this will kind of be pushed, and they'll say, well, if you don't let them transition, they'll commit suicide. You're more likely to push them towards suicide. But isn't that often true after transition? I'd read some statistics about suicide after a person transitions.
Yes. So first of all, when you're having these conversations with people, it's good to find sources of agreement. So it's true that suicidality is higher, suicidal ideation is higher. Obviously, it's higher. These kids want to change their sex. They're struggling in life. But half these kids are on the autism spectrum. Kids with autism are even higher in terms of suicidality. A lot of these kids have suffered sexual abuse. What is a girl who's been sexually abused, what's she feeling like right now? Maybe she's been getting sexually abused for years. If you give her the option to opt out of her sex, which for her, she perceives as the source of the greatest trauma she's ever known in her life, of course some kids are going to jump at this opportunity. So yes, suicidality is higher and we need to help these kids, but you don't deal with the problem of the mind by changing the body. But your question was regarding actual suicides. The best study we have is out of Sweden, where everyone's part of a national database. No one's lost a follow-up. They have all the data. And actual suicides compared to the general population for people who underwent sex reassignment surgery 10 years after the fact, actual suicides were 40 times higher than the general population. When you account for people with similar mental health comorbidities, they were 19.1 times higher than their peers. So this isn't doing anything to reduce suicides. All the data we do have, and there are no quality studies with kids, but all the data we do have points to the exact opposite, which for people with half a brain makes little sense. Yes, turn someone into a lifetime medical patient, give them hormones that don't belong in their body, send them into menopause, reduce their chances of, or eliminate their chance of ever having a family. Yes, suicides are going to go up. We're playing God with children's bodies. This is never going to end well.
Mm. Now, in regard to puberty blockers, where did they come from? Because I know they didn't just pop onto the scene out of nowhere. Where did they come from? What were they for? And when did they start being used for what they're being used for now? Like, how has this become so prevalent? And what does it do to a kid's body? I know that there's a lot of questions in one there, but what's the deal with puberty blockers?
So I'll get a little scientific here, but I'll say it slowly so people can look this up if they want. I've actually got a great thing up on my Twitter account right now explaining this. So the technical term for these are gonadotropin-releasing hormone agonists. And what they do is they stop the pituitary gland from releasing two different hormones called luteinizing hormone and follicle-stimulating hormone. This is the technical side of things. In turn, when these hormones aren't being produced by your pituitary gland, your body will not produce testosterone. A girl's body will not produce estrogen. So this is stopping the production of their own hormones, which would come at the onset of puberty. It is your own hormones which cause your secondary sex characteristics to develop. So the secondary sex characteristics for females are they grow breasts, their hips get wider, boys' Adam's apples get more pronounced, they get hair, both sexes get pubic hair. These are your secondary sex characteristics. None of this will occur while you're on these puberty blockers. So the idea behind this is that it will keep kids looking neutral so that when they take the opposite sex hormones in the future, that they can pass better as the opposite sex. So you don't have boys with big broad shoulders and whatever, and a deep voice. Keeps them looking neutral. The drug that is being given to kids, it's normally a drug called Lupron. It's never been approved for this purpose. It was approved as a prostate cancer drug. Because it takes testosterone down to zero. It was also approved to treat endometriosis in women, uterine fibroids. It does have FDA approval to treat a rare condition called precocious puberty, which is where girls younger than 8 years old, boys younger than 9, enter puberty. I don't even agree with it, really, for this purpose. But that's an actual medical condition. There's usually other things involved. And they don't go on it forever. They just go on it for a while. They come off. So that they can go through puberty at a normal age. So you don't have a six-year-old entering puberty. But that's got really nothing to do with what we're talking about. But trans activists always like to talk about that. This is being used off-label to treat perfectly healthy kids and to stop their bodies from going through natural puberty, period. Then they give them the opposite sex hormones. So for girls, it's testosterone. Testosterone use causes vaginal and uterine atrophy. After 4 or 5 years, these girls have to get a hysterectomy. So Sometimes they're doing what's called a bilateral oophorectomy, where they cut out their ovaries as well. So now without their ovaries, they can never produce estrogen for the rest of their life. They're now dependent on a pharmaceutical company forever, either testosterone, or if they change their mind at the ripe old age of 25 or 20, as so many are doing, well, now they have to take some exogenous source of estrogen for the rest of their life. And they're sterilized. And they can never have their own kids. And maybe they're balding, because that's what testosterone does to a lot of these girls. And they've got a deep voice. Oh, and by the way, they're cutting off the breasts of girls as young as 12 years old in California at Kaiser Permanente. This is totally insane. So I'm glad you're talking to me today, because one of my complaints these 3 years has been, where are the Christian pastors? They're invisible. They're nowhere to be seen. What flock are they leading? Nobody. The Muslims are speaking up now. They're not afraid. And the left doesn't know what to do about it because, you know, intersectionality, they're not supposed to say anything bad about Muslims. So the left has nothing to say about them. But they want to call you, if you're a Christian, they want to call you a Christo fascist now or a Nazi. But the Christian pastors are invisible. What does it say in the Bible? Male and female, he created them. Yet, so many Christians are afraid to speak the truth. Come on, we got to stop being afraid of getting called names, because that's all they're going to do. And we have to speak the truth loudly and boldly, because tens of thousands of children are coming to physical harm. 300,000 children, the New York Times reported, have been officially diagnosed with gender dysphoria. So whoever's watching this today, let's speak up. If you want to invite me to your church to speak to your congregation, I'm more than happy to. This is one of those situations where people need to learn about it so that they know how to speak about it. Because once you know how to speak about it, you're more likely to speak about it. And it's a winning issue. You win all day long, not just with conservatives, but with a lot of people on the left of the political spectrum, not the far left. But you'll grab those 80% in the middle easily all day long when you just speak the truth about this with compassion.
Amen. And on that note, why do you think it is that so many activists don't want to have any sort of rational discussion? You'll notice that you and others, when you go out, you get shouted down. I mean, I've protested in front of abortion clinics, and people, they hardly ever actually get out to talk to you, but they'll always drive by, they yell the F word, they yell, you're a bad Christian, they'll yell this or that. But they don't want to have a rational discussion. So I don't know how many times, probably like almost zero, have I had a rational discussion with somebody on the other side about trans issues. Not so much adults, but especially children. Now, why do you think it is that they don't want to engage in rational discourse?
Well, they don't have a leg to stand on. They have nothing intelligent to say because this is indefensible. Now, I have had lots of nice conversations with these people, but there are tactics to this. So the first tactic you need to do is you need to find a source of agreement. So, for example, if you say there's no right way to be a boy or a girl, they all agree with that. If you say we shouldn't put our kids in some stereotypical box, they all agree with that. A lot of these kids historically with gender dysphoria, according to all the academic studies before they gave kids puberty blockers, a lot of them grew up to be gay. So this is harming kids that would grow up to be gay. Now, I know some Christians aren't going to want to talk about that, but that's just the fact of the matter. And when you're talking to a leftist, this is going to calm them down a little bit. But find a source of agreement, know your stuff, but ask questions. So you have to approach this with the Socratic method of debate. You can't just argue with people. When someone's in a cult, they never come out of a cult because you tell them that they're wrong. They come out of it of their own volition because they start questioning things. All these people on the left have this own blocking mechanism that they put in place themselves, stopping them from having these conversations. Because if they were to have a rational conversation, it would destroy their current worldview. But when you ask them questions, it forces them to think. So say to them, what does it mean for a girl to be a boy? And just pause. They'll say, I don't know, because I'm not trans. Or they might say, well, you know, girls typically like nail polish or long hair or the color pink or playing with dolls. People tell me this all the time. So when they say something ridiculous like that, because obviously that's not what it means to be a girl, when they say something like that, you ask them another question. So dolls determine if someone's a girl or a boy? Now that you've phrased it back to them, they know that's ridiculous. They'll say, no, that's not what it means. And now they might start getting frustrated or whatever. But what you've done in this moment is you've created this beautiful situation of cognitive dissonance, where there's now two ideas in their head that can't coexist because they're contrary ideas. The first idea was, this man's a bigot. He's evil. He's a Nazi. The second idea is, he's saying all these things that I agree with. Yes, we shouldn't put kids in stereotypical boxes. Stereotypes do not define us. I don't know what to say. And they're going to go home and they're going to be forced to think about this some more. Because ultimately, this ideology does hinge on one thing only, stereotypes. That's all there is to this. And increasingly today, it means kids have autism and just have other issues going on. So, you know, you can ask people, don't you think if someone has suffered abuse or trauma that we should be treating the abuse or trauma before we go to lifelong medical interventions? They're going to agree with that. They just won't want to admit that this is what's happening to all these kids. So to ask them questions, get them thinking, that's the strategy for the 10% on the far left of the political spectrum. Honestly, the rest of the time, and really who we need to focus on, are just the normal people who don't know much about this, and you can just have a rational conversation with them.
Now, if you engage with somebody and have a discussion, and let's say they're probably likely to bring up the, well, there's a difference between gender and sex. How do you address or respond to that?
What's gender?
Well, that's a good question.
That's how I respond. What's gender? They can't answer it. What's a gender identity? They can't answer it. What does it mean to be trans? They can't answer it. What does it mean for a girl to be a boy? They can't answer it. Ask these questions. You got to go on offense. And it gets them thinking. So gender essentially is just a bunch of stereotypes. These people who really believe in this stuff, they believe that we're performing our gender. Mm-hmm. That life is drag. We're all in drag.
The social construct.
Yes. No, it's not. I have 10 little nieces and nephews. 5 girls, 5 boys. The boys will destroy your house at the age of 3. They're doing backflips off the fireplace mantle. The girls are like hanging out upstairs quietly talking.
Yeah, my son's 1.5 and all he wants to do is anything involving a ball. It's all he cares about.
Like, we're different, okay? Now, of course, there's deviation there. And some boys are going to be different. Some girls are going to be different. But what does it mean to be the opposite gender? What does that mean? Are tomboys actual boys? Is that what we're teaching now? No, of course not. And everyone on the left will agree with that. Yet that is exactly what they're teaching. They just have this blind spot where they don't see that they're pushing stereotypes to such a degree that they're now saying that we need to change children's bodies and harm them for life. It's totally insane.
Now, like we talked about a little bit before, I kind of wanted to get back to it. You've had a lot of different experiences. You've traveled all over the world. We talked a little bit about the Vancouver situation. Now, you were also in Ireland recently, and I watched an interview where you were talking about the laws in Ireland and how a police officer had accused you of going at a Disney store. I mean, you can just tell the story, but what was the deal with the Ireland situation?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I decided to go to the UK. I went to London. I went to Oxford. I went to Edinburgh, and I went to Dublin, Ireland. And I was just on the street. Grafton Street is what it's called. It's the busiest street in Dublin. And it's amazing because there's tens of thousands of people walking around all day long. It's just perfect for what I do. And I had stopped on the side of the street for probably 15 seconds just to look at my phone. I actually put myself in between two stores. One was the Disney store. One was, I think, a Benetton store. And I made sure I wasn't near the doors or anything. I was just up against a wall. For 15 seconds, look at my phone. And then I carried up 2 more stores because I had to buy something for my phone. A selfie stick holder thing. Anyway, I come back out of this camera store and I'm walking back down the street and I get stopped by police. Someone at the Disney store had reported I'd gone inside.
Oh, no.
Apparently. I never saw. And this police officer stopped me and I said, well, that's not true. And he said, well, I can go look at the footage. And I said, please do. Can I come with you? Like, please go look at the footage and come right back. I have this all recorded on my body cam because I record everything because I get assaulted. I get lied about like this and whatever. But no, I was not in the Disney store, but someone in the Disney store was trying to get me in trouble. And he was telling me that I couldn't go by the Disney store. I couldn't even go by it. And threatened to arrest me if I did. And I said, please do. Please arrest me. I love it. I would love it. It would be so great for my campaign. And as soon as I said that, I could see his body language change because his intimidation wasn't working. And I actually want him to do that legitimately. And he said, well, why would that be good for you? I said, because it would generate media all over the world and millions of people will see this ridiculous conversation and they'll see me getting arrested. And so that didn't work. He ended up talking to one of the resident Dubliners for about 15 minutes, who I think told him what I'm actually out there doing. But he looked at my signs and he said, according to Section 7 of their criminal code, that if my signs offend somebody, that's cause for arrest. I said, wait a minute. If I offend someone, I can get arrested? Yes. So I could have a sign, I said, that said, I think Ireland is beautiful. And someone could take offense to that. Are you going to arrest me then? Well, we're not getting reports for that. We're getting reports for your signs. Which, by the way, my signs said children cannot consent to puberty blockers. And I have a sign on my back, which is the definition of a dad, a human male who protects his kids from gender ideology. That's it. And I just hang out. People come up to me and we talk. So anyway, he tried to intimidate me. That didn't work. That video went pretty viral. Got 5.5 million views. The tweet got 5.5 million views. And never mind the other media that it generated. But that was a good day. And this sort of stuff happens all the time. These come out every other day I'm out there because people are always calling them on me. The same people who want to defund the police are the first ones to call them when I show up.
So you were accused of think crime for potentially going to a Disney store. Thought crime.
Well, didn't go in it. Couldn't even go near it, apparently.
Right. Yeah.
But of course, it's the Disney store that that reported that.
Yeah. No, and I know you're in Canada, but when America, we always say, oh, Europe is doing this. We should eat bugs. Europe is doing it. It's like, yeah, that's not always the best way to go. That's pretty disturbing. And speaking of that, you're not arguing that somebody shouldn't have freedom of speech or the freedom to say something. You're arguing that your arguments are that gender ideology is wrong to enforce on children. Your argument is not that nobody should be able to say your opinion if you disagree with it.
Of course not. No, I'm all about freedom of speech. But I'm saying that there's no such thing as a child born in the wrong body. There is no such thing as a transgender child. They are called girls and boys, and they're beautiful just as they are. No drugs or scalpels needed. This is very rational discourse I'm engaging in. And when you do look at the historical studies, almost all the kids with gender dysphoria from a young age, when they went through puberty, they simply grew out of it. The most recent study that was done before they started giving kids puberty blockers followed 139 boys with gender dysphoria from the age of 4 or 5 all the way into their 20s. 87.8% of them grew out of it.
Wow.
63% grew up to have, they asked them about their fantasies and stuff. 63% had gay fantasies. So I guess a bunch of them grew up to be gay. But here's the thing. The cure for actual gender dysphoria in almost all these cases was puberty itself. Now we block the cure. We don't know what the lack of a child's own hormones is doing to their brain development. Giving them the opposite sex hormones obviously is terrible. Guess what? Whether you believe in God or evolution or both, this makes no sense. If you believe in God, this ideology teaches that God made a whole bunch of us wrong. Nonsense. Evolution. Well, then if you believe in this ideology, are you to tell me that somehow 1 billion years of the process of natural selection has failed? And now we need a pharmaceutical company? We need AbbVie Pharmaceuticals to help children be their true selves? This is totally bonkers. And anyway, kids are beautiful just as they are. When I grew up, I was born in 75. This didn't exist. This gender dysphoria affected 1 out of 10s of thousands of children. No one ever knew anybody struggling with this. Now you get schools like this Langley Fine Arts School near my house where 45 girls in middle school are identifying as trans or non-binary. It's a social contagion.
That's actually a really important point. I mean, even when I was in high school, it was less than 15 years ago, I think. I mean, this was, you hardly ever heard of this. It was like, it was a big deal if somebody considered themselves. I don't even think they used the term transgender very often when they did talk about it. But is there any precedent for this in history, or is this just a new phenomenon that's been being pushed very hard?
There is some precedent going back into Germany. There was a gender clinic there. I think they were doing things a bit different. But that was pretty small potatoes. That was being run by a gay man, actually. And gender identity, as we use this term today, wasn't even coined until the 60s. This was really started by a man named John Money, who worked for Johns Hopkins University. And he had these theories about gender identity starting in the late 50s. And he experimented on a couple twin boys. People can Google this story. There's a documentary on it. Look up the Reimer twins, R-E-I-M-E-R, David Reimer and John Money. Because there were these 2 8-month-old boys in Winnipeg, Canada, who went to get a circumcision. And they used some electrical device which malfunctioned, and it burned off this little boy's penis. And the mom somehow got in touch with John Money. And they decided to raise this boy as a girl. They used him as an experiment. And they told him he was a girl. They castrated him completely. And they grew out his hair and they gave him a new name. And basically, it's a long story, but John Money is a pedophile. He had these boys every year when he would see them doing sexual things to each other when their parents weren't present. And as adults, they both ended up committing suicide. But John Money falsified his research. Yet somehow, since this idea of gender identity was born, and it's been floating around academia for decades, pushed by people like Judith Butler, this famous feminist scholar who teaches that all life is drag and we're all performing it, whatever. It's totally insane. But as long as this was in academia being taught in some obscure corner of the university, this idea of a gender identity, essentially this idea that we have a gendered soul different than our sex, well, it really wasn't doing much harm in society. But now this has emerged into the mainstream. And when gay rights were won, I know a lot of Christians and other people talked about the slippery slope. What's this going to lead to? Well, they proved to be right. Because obviously, when you have all these nonprofits with millions, hundreds of millions of dollars that were fighting for gay rights, they won. Well, they don't just close the doors and fire everybody and say, good job, everyone, we achieved our objective. They got to keep the donations flowing. They got to keep everyone employed. So the new objective became trans rights. And this is really how this has exploded, because they have succeeded in conflating gay rights with trans rights. And when you put these letters together, LGBTQ, well, not many people want to say anything about any of it, because then they're branded a bigot. But LGB has next to nothing to do with the TQ. Transgenderism is a denial of reality itself. Queer theory is trying to destroy our way of life. It wants to make everything that's traditionally been considered deviant and perverted, and it wants to normalize all of it, including pedophilia. They call them minor attracted persons now. This has nothing to do with LGB, but they conflated these things together, and everyone just got quiet about it. And so they've had this free run to grow this abusive cult, which has really exploded since about 2015. Bruce Jenner, who's now Caitlyn Jenner, helped make it successful. There was this show called I Am Jazz on TLC where they celebrated the transition of this little boy. I think the series is still running 10 years later. And with the advent of the internet and TikTok and Tumblr and Reddit and YouTube, well, all these kids online are getting groomed by people who are teaching them that they must have been born in the wrong body.
So for those listening, how can we, like, what is the most effective way to fight this? What is the most effective way to actually go out and make people understand sort of how, first of all, how all these letters that you're mentioning, the LGBTQ, I don't know, there's like 10 of them now, but how they actually contradict each other. Like, if you're going to fight for women's rights on this and that, and then also say, I can be a woman if I just say I'm a woman. Like, how can we, what's the best way to fight this, especially in regard to children?
It's always conversations. People need to get educated so they know how to talk about this, and they have to talk about it. So I looked at this at the beginning before I did a thing, and I said, this is the biggest problem in the world. This is Goliath. This has hundreds of millions of dollars behind it. I'm just one guy. I'm a normie living out in the suburbs of Vancouver. I have no platform. I have no media experience, nothing. But I can talk to people, and I can keep going, and I can never stop. And for me, I have a financial background that's kind of like compounding interest. You start with a dollar. You double it, you got 2. then 4, 8, 16, 30, 26, 24, 120. Mm. Pretty soon it starts to grow into something. And that's exactly what's happening with this campaign. But that's what happens anytime you put efforts into something and you persist. So we have to simply keep talking about this. If you can arrange public speaking appearances for people who know how to speak about this, do it. Help them to get the message out there, because we need to educate people. Because the more parents who learn what's going on, the sooner we put a stop to this. Because parents, Democrat or Republican, are not going to put up with this child abuse.
Now, before we go, what do you think we should say? Let's say somebody's child were to come home and say, let's say they're a little boy and they say, well, I think I'm supposed to be a girl. I'm in the wrong body. How should a parent, like, where do you start in handling that?
Well, first of all, you've failed miserably already if that ever happens. You're way behind. That should never even be a possibility. You should be having conversations with your kids when it's appropriate about how they're beautiful just as they are. They should know that there's this weird teaching out there that some people are teaching their kids that they should have been the opposite sex. Can you imagine someone telling you, little Johnny, that you should have been a girl? Being a boy is beautiful. And there's no right way to be a boy. Like, some of your friends are a little different. They're all great. That's the message we should be sending. So get this body positive message into their minds so that when these lies come for them, they just bounce off. But ultimately, it's just about telling them the truth that there's no right way to be a girl or boy. And you got to keep them away from people who would groom them into this ideology. So you have to know the position of your teacher at school. My kids go to public school. They're fine because I talk to the teachers and I know what the teacher's stance are. And if the teacher was teaching this, we would have a massive problem and my kid wouldn't be in that class. But I've also talked to the principal for 45 minutes. When I first started my campaign, I blew this up all over Greater Vancouver. I talked to this principal for 45 minutes. He was a problem. I wrote about it online. I tagged every single school trustee, school board member in Vancouver, Burnaby, Coquitlam, Delta, Surrey, Abbotsford, all these different cities. And I wrote this thread all night long talking about all this abuse that was going on. So when every single school board member representing about 4 million people woke up in the morning, they all had hundreds of notifications about this. The school board reached out to me for a meeting to talk about all this. I could tell these two senior officials at the school district all agreed with me, but they're not allowed to say that. Mm. But because I made so much noise, guess what? My kids never get these teachers who would push this. Neither do their friends, for that matter. So most teachers aren't pushing this. That's just the truth of it. Most are adults with kids of their own, and they don't agree with this abusive ideology. But you do need to be aware that if you have a teacher with pink or blue hair or whatever, you probably got a problem and you need to have these conversations. So just know who's around your kids. And the number one thing you can do, sorry, I rant too much, but the number one thing you can do, keep your kids off social media. They don't need it.
Amen.
We've existed for a long time on this planet playing outside. That's what kids are supposed to do. Send them outside, get them on their bikes, get them reading books. I mean, you need to read a lot of these kids' books yourselves or scan them, make sure they're not pushing this, because a lot of these youth books are pushing this ideology now as well, because that's where the funding is. These authors who write these ridiculous books get the funding. But just keep them off social media. TikTok is a disaster. Reddit, Tumblr, these art websites like DeviantArt, etc. Just get them off all that stuff. My kids aren't on it. They don't complain at all. They don't want it. They know it's a dangerous place.
Yeah, we couldn't agree more. I mean, my son hardly watches TV. And you can actually, my wife and I watched, he watched TV a little bit when he was younger, and social media is much different, of course. But when we stopped having him do that, he got so much better at playing. Like, he was so much more focused. He, not that he wasn't focused, but he just got way more focused. And it makes such a big difference in our kids' lives when they're not staring at not only a screen, but a screen with all kinds of harmful content. I mean, you mentioned TikTok. When you have a country who doesn't like you, China, okay, designing the algorithm, and then you see that in their own country, they design it differently, where kids are rewarded, or TikTok users are rewarded for different things than we are over here. It's like, that should concern you, and you can do something about it. They're your kids. And as you mentioned, it starts with raising your own kids, having discussions with them, parenting them, protecting them, but also getting involved with the school board and with the schools. I mean, that's such a huge factor that you have the right to do.
Yes. And one last piece of advice I would give for parents, read to your kids at night. It should be a nightly routine. It's bedtime. You lay down, you read a book. I read the whole Harry Potter series with my little one. I was in the middle of that when I started this campaign of I Love J.K. Rowling. And for me, that's my favorite time of the day. Those are the memories I'm going to have when I'm old, of sharing these moments where you're reading these book series with your kids, because it's that time when everything's quieted down. That's when your kids' own inner thoughts about the day come out. That's when they tell you about things going on at school. And you're just having this nice hangout time. And it's important because a lot of kids, you pick them up from school, they don't tell you anything. But when you have this quality time every day and you're reading something together, you're going to find out about what's going on in their life. And you're going to be able to catch some of this stuff early. And more importantly, just teach them little bits as they get older. You're going to be able to prevent this in its entirety with ease.
Yeah, I could not agree more. Of course, my daughter's only a month, but my son, he's a year and a half. So we pray. I mean, we all pray, of course, before he goes to bed and everything. We read. His favorite thing is we have the Mother Goose stuff with all the things in it. But we're going to start going through the Narnia series in a few months once he's a little bit older. But that, I agree 110%. That's such good advice. And when your kids trust you, I mean, that's the most important thing, because they'll talk to you. Even if they misunderstand something, you'll know about it. You'll find out, because they'll trust you to tell you.
You have to work on the bond with your child. If your child's been getting sucked into this, well, it's cut off the social media, but work on that bond. So if your child's already struggling, you got to do things to get them away from every single influence and go do things in nature. You know, go on a holiday into the woods, go hang out in a cabin, go fishing, go canoeing, go hiking. Get that quality time going with your kids, because there's nothing a child wants more than the love and affection of their parents. And they don't want to disappoint their parents. But when that communication breaks down, you can get a problem. And don't send your kids to a liberal arts school.
Right. Yeah. No. Yeah. That I'd like to leave on that note. I completely agree. And parenting is great, especially, I mean, you have the opportunity to shape kids for not just for society, but for the future, for their own lives. And I mean, it's a really big calling that I think people need to take very seriously. It's as a pastor, family is my first ministry. It's the most important thing. It has to come before work, traveling, whatever. I mean, it has to be the first thing, and it shows when it isn't. So I definitely agree with you on that. I'll go ahead and put your website in the description below. Is that billboardchris.com?
Yeah. And if people want to support me on there, that'd be great, because it is a little difficult traveling all around. There's a donate button on there. They can do that. But really what I want people to do is get educated about this. I do almost all of my campaigning on Twitter, or X, at Billboard Chris. I'm also on Instagram at Billboard Chris, posting some videos. But please follow me on there. And just every day, you'll learn a little bit more about this.
Awesome. So if you use Instagram, Twitter, follow Billboard Chris. Otherwise, I'll put that website. Awesome cause to give to. Of course, traveling is not free. This stuff all costs money. Even doing a podcast costs money. So thank you so much for joining us. This has been awesome. And I hope you do well in your traveling.
Thank you so much, Nick. It's been a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Universe Next Door. Make sure you hit follow wherever you're listening, and join us back here next Monday at 6 p.m. for our interview with Tina Deskovich, the co-founder of Moms for Liberty. Hope you have a blessed week.